going to be concluding our study this evening that we've been doing for the last 12 weeks. So for the last 12 weeks, we've been looking at this series entitled Prayers from Prison, studying the prayers of the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to be spending our time this evening over the last 11 weeks, again, with deep and sincere gratitude to the brothers who've spent the time being able to look at these four prayers and for us to be able to appreciate and understand not only what is in those prayers, but certainly why. And what we've been talking about from the outset, the reason why we wanted to spend time looking at these four beautiful prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed when he was under house arrest, to be able to come to the believers, was to be able to appreciate more, how do we elevate our prayer lives? So often when we pray, we are focused on a space where we want things for us, be they temporal things, be they physical things, be they material things, health, a job, success in endeavors that we're under. But when you look at what the Apostle Paul was focusing on, his intention, his exercise, his vocabulary was very different. And so for us as believers, our hope, our desire is that certainly over the last 11 weeks, that as you've had a chance to meditate on these, that our own prayer lives, in our personal life, in our corporate life, when we come together as an assembly, how is our intent and our vocabulary different? When you look in the New Testament, there are rarely prayers for sinners to be saved. But when you see the purpose of prayer that you see in the New Testament, they are often for the spiritual growth of saints. And there's a reason for that. Because when the saints, you and me, grow spiritually, the work of the gospel cannot be hindered. And that is why Paul is recognizing that prayer isn't us like an unwilling child asking God, give me everything I desire, and just like a child, I would rather have it sooner rather than later. But that in truth, it is the outcome of a child's growing intimacy and being able to appreciate and know the will of the Father and to be able to pray accordingly. So my desire this evening for us as we conclude the study is to, together as an assembly, that we would read these prayers and just, I'm going to highlight just a couple of things for our reminder, and hopefully for us to be able to take just a couple of nuggets. Certainly over the last time we have dived into these really nicely, but I want just a few things for us to be able to capture as we go through. So let's start in the first prayer that we looked at in Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll start reading at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. In verse 18 of this prayer, so in the middle of this prayer, you see this phrase, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. When we set out, we kind of looked at these four prayers and we said that this was the prayer of enlightenment. That those who would be able to appreciate, if you go back to the beginning of the first chapter of this same epistle, where the Apostle Paul is writing and he is instructing the believers at Ephesus to be able to appreciate what their position is in Christ. That so often it is a lack of awareness, a lack of understanding, a lack of appreciation of all of those things. And we looked at in great detail around all of those things all the way through the first chapter, where Paul writes without even so much as putting a period, because he is so excited and he is so drawn into the amazing things that the position of the believers in Christ do have. And so he is appreciating more and more, and he is desiring that they would have a fuller and a more accurate comprehension of who they are in Christ and what they have in him. And what Paul is also praying in this prayer is that the believers would have a spirit of wisdom, of revelation, of insight, of understanding in the knowledge of Christ. What he's praying for, again, put aside our normal vocabulary, the vocabulary that we would use in our everyday prayers. And what Paul is desperately seeking for these believers is for a practical knowledge of the place that they are in. Not just the head knowledge, not just knowing in theory, oh, how wonderful is the place we're in, oh, how wonderful are the blessings that we have. But in practicality, in reality, how does that translate into? That understanding, he realized, as much as there would be intellectual horsepower, as much as there would be academic understanding, unless they had the Holy Spirit open the eyes of their understanding, unless they had that divine enlightenment, they wouldn't even begin to approach it. Dear ones, how often we are living in almost virtual spiritual blindness when we don't consider those things and the place that we are in, because we don't take it, we take it for granted. It's like the wallpaper that you see in spaces and then you forget it's even there. And what Paul's desire for each of us and for all of us as we lift these prayers up, that we would be more aware of the incredible hope that we have in him, the inheritance that we have in him, and the power that we have in him. As you read this prayer, as you appreciate this prayer, as you internalize this prayer, there is an amazing thing to consider, beloved. Paul isn't asking for anything extra on behalf of the believers at Ephesus. He isn't saying, I want more of this, or I want more of these things that we didn't get enough, so therefore give us more, or give this church more, give this believer more. Far be it from that. You and I have everything in our possession, in our position in Christ. What Paul is desiring greatly, and by consequence, not only for the believers in that time, but for us as well, that we would appreciate that more fully. What a powerful prayer it is that We would, beloved, if there is something we can pray for, may we pray for the enlightenment, that the eyes of our understanding be opened, and that we would know him more fully. Come to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14, was the second prayer that we looked at. Again, we could probably spend weeks on any one of these, so we're going to just do a quick survey of these, but to be able to, again, take for our own language, our own hearts, our own desire, that we would do this. Ephesians chapter 3, reading at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. In Ephesians 1, Paul was praying for the enlightenment of the saints. In Ephesians 3, he is praying for the empowerment, that they would be strengthened, that they would be enabled. So once their minds have been enlightened, how do you now translate at some level that kind of potential energy, the energy that goes from an appreciation of the understanding of the things that are in heaven, how does that translate into kinetic energy, into the work and the enablement that they are going to do? It is one thing to know who we are in Christ, to appreciate that. It is another thing to live like it. What Paul was recognizing, what he was conveying, is that you can know a lot about the Bible, you can accumulate all of this knowledge, and yet do nothing with it. We must put into effect what we know to be true, to be fully effective believers. It is a prayer whose answer is rooted in God's resources. Look at verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Beloved, so often when we pray, when we lift up our voices in prayer, we often pray with the futility of our own resources. We pray with the extension of our own abilities, our own strength, our own capabilities, and we rarely have an appreciation for the eternal and effective storehouses of God's riches. His riches are limitless, and that's the resource that we draw on in prayer. If you were to think about a theme in this one, where Paul is praying that you and I, not just the believers in Ephesus, this prayer continues on to you and me, that after your eyes have been opened, as you have been enlightened, that you would be empowered, that when you pray, when you know the position that you are in, when you know the possession that you have, that you would pray boldly. Dear ones, when was the last time, with boldness, that you and I prayed that we would progress spiritually, that we would grow in godliness, There are many things in our family prayers, in our personal prayers, that we will lift up time and time and time again. Sometimes, regrettably, by rote. Because we come at the end of a busy day and we just want to get it done because we can check it on the box that we prayed and we're done. When have we, as Paul says, that for this cause I bow my knees. The traditional posture in prayer was to stand and offer the prayer. So the fact that he's saying he's on his knees, it indicates the depth of the desire in his heart that was here. We have that same desire as well. Are we bold enough to ask God for the progression and the maturation in our spiritual journeys? May that be a desire in our heart, a prayer for enlightenment, a prayer for empowerment. And then the third prayer that we looked at in Philippians chapter 1. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Starting to read at verse 9. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Verse 9, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Your mind being enlightened. Your hands and work being enabled. Your purposes enlarged and grown. This was Paul's prayer, that they would be able to grow even more and more. A love that abounds, so that they can discern what is best and the ability to live a life that brings glory and praise to God. One of the things I was thinking about when I was reading this prayer, Paul very specifically told the believers in Philippi what he was praying for spiritually, for that church, for that body to be able to grow. And it made me wonder, when was the last time that I told somebody what I was praying for them spiritually? There are things that even we go through a long list of things that we'll do in just a few minutes as well, which are all important, which are necessary. They are the exercise of the daily ways in which we as a community, as a body of believers, go together. There are needs that we have of being sick, of there are needs that we have of when we are in need. When did you pick up the phone and call somebody and say, I've been thinking about your spiritual life and I am praying that your love may abound. I am praying that the eyes of your heart, that the eyes of your understanding may be open. If we are praying that for one another, beloved, if we are praying like that as an assembly, if we are praying like that within our families, out of the riches of the glory of God, how can God not act? How can God not do the things that he purposes to do with people like us? Paul is praying for a greater maturity for them. We remember the conviction that we have when we look at this prayer, and we ask ourselves that from the time that we heard the message of the gospel, from the time that we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and we came, and we look to where we are today, can we see
growth?
Can we see the way in which we have invested, or are we thinking, are we looking, are we participating in the same ways that we did a week ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, in the case of some of those that are here? I speak specifically as well to those who have recently or are thinking about and even considering, how do they obey the commandment of the Lord publicly? It is wonderful that in private you have accepted the Lord. Now, what does that look like? Are we maturing? Are we growing? Are we looking at those things that are most excellent? There are so many things that we can involve our time in. There are so many things that we can engage our conversations in. The Apostle Paul, in this prayer, in this desire with those in Philippi, he says, I want you to rise above the mediocrity, around the things that are the common things, and be able to look higher, deeper, further into the things that God would call us into. And finally, in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, as our minds being enlightened, our minds being enabled, a prayer for enlargement. And finally, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 on, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. If you've been enlightened, if you've been enabled, if you've been truly enlarged, where there are no borders that are there, oh beloved, what a prayer for enrichment, to be enriched for a greater and a deeper understanding of God's will. What's also interesting here, in the first three prayers, we see very distinctly Paul saying, I am praying for you. In this prayer that he prays to the believers in Colossae, there's no record that he met them personally, but for the work that came from Epaphras that was relayed to them. He says, I've heard. I haven't seen, I haven't experienced, but I've heard. And these amazing, wonderful things, they fill my heart. And together with Timothy, who is with me, we have been in fervent prayer for you, that you would have a deeper understanding of God's will. At this time in the first century, there were clouds that were gathering of all of the heretical teachings that were starting to come. And the sense of the well-being of these believers was going to be knowledge, a deep and systematic understanding and appreciation of the knowledge that was necessary, the spiritual intelligence that was going to be necessary to overcome the heretics. But not just knowledge. Would they walk in that light as well? There's a wonderful phrase that I was reminded of at a series of events that we were at this weekend back in the Northeast. And somebody reminded me of this phrase that said that as Christians, preach the gospel always. And when you must, use words. Preach the gospel always, and when you must, use words. What a reminder for us that as we consider this, to understand God's will, to know that deeper and richer and fuller in the ways that we could go. How could we pray these prayers for others? It is wonderful that we know them. It is wonderful that we appreciate them. How could we pray? Well, I pray that this evening, tomorrow morning, and for every day forward, we would pray that God would give us a discerning love to appreciate and approve the excellent things of our faith. That we would pray that our eyes be opened, that our eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that we would be strengthened by His Spirit in our inner man, so that Christ may take up a permanent dwelling in your heart and mine. That God would enable us as an individual, as families, and as an assembly, that we might know His will more fully. Beloved, if we can be praying this daily, we can be praying this fervently. We live lives worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew Murray, who has written so much on prayer, wrote this one line that I've kind of written on the top of my notes over the whole period that we've been studying this, and I've been considering it and meditating on this, and I want to share it with you, that as you consider these words, may it inspire our hearts to tune them further and closer to God's own desires. Andrew Murray wrote these words: God cannot hear the prayer on our lips often, because the desires of our heart after the world cry out to Him much more strongly and loudly than our desires for Him. Let me say that again. God cannot hear the prayers on our lips often, because the desires of our heart after the world cry out to Him much more strongly and loudly than our desires for Him. Dear ones, is that where our prayer life is? May it be the case that even as we sang this evening, may the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by this love and power controlling all I do and say. What wonderful lessons from prison. And may they be things that allow us, as we walk in our prayer life further, that we would seek more deeply for Him. We'll be taking a break in our Bible study series next week, given that we have the VBS. On the 19th of June, we'll be having a brother from India that will be speaking, an evangelist will be speaking here on Wednesday. So on the 26th of June, so 3 weeks from today, we'll be beginning our new series, which continues in the spirit and the theme of prayer. We'll be looking at one of the most powerful and beautiful prayers that are indeed in all of Scripture, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ in voice to His Heavenly Father in John chapter 17. And so for the next series, we'll be looking at that entire chapter, John chapter 17, and we'll be looking at the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so much that we can gather in that. And so please keep that in prayer as we begin our next series on that. May His name be glorified. Shall we take just a couple of minutes to look at a few items that are there in prayer? I'll highlight just a few things for our awareness. You have them on the screen in front of you, and hopefully you've gotten it also via email. This coming Sunday, should the Lord tarry, our brother Evangelist Roy Matthew from India will be sharing from the Word Ministry. Our adult Sunday school will be continued by Dr. Sam on Ordinary Men, an Extraordinary Task. As a reminder, the kids are on Sunday school vacation. Sorry. Oh, that's right. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Yes, you're right. Sorry. We will be concluding because of the VBS. Thank you for that reminder. I meant to put it in there. This Sunday, because of the VBS, we will be concluding our meeting right after the word ministry. So there will not be Bible study on this Sunday. That will give the teams enough time to be able to prepare and set up the hall for the VBS that will start that evening. So please keep that in prayer. As I mentioned, on the Wednesday, next Wednesday, we will not have a meeting and we'll resume on the 19th. Evangelist Roy Matthew will actually be with us. Let's remember the prayer family of the week, Christopher, Afia, Emma, and Catherine David. You have the list of the international ministries as well as in India. A couple of items for those that are on our list of dear ones that are sick. Let's continue to remember Brother Babu Uman, that is Sister Mercy Johnson's father, Mercy George's father. Please remember him. He is still in the hospital, to our last knowledge, but let's continue to remember his recovery. And also specifically, please pray for Brother Emmanuel. He is going in for his eye surgery. They've had to do his eye surgery again because of the retinal detachment. So let's please remember that dear young brother in prayer. His surgery is tomorrow. So let's pray for this one to be successful, that the doctors would finally be able to address the issues that he has. For praise, Sister Julie Johnson, that's our brother Roy John's daughter, delivered a healthy baby boy on the 2nd of June. Let's continue to remember our baptism candidates, Gianna, Akhil, and Micah. That will be on the 29th of June at 5:30. So please keep that in prayer. Again, it is the season for travel, so there are a number that are out and about, so let's remember them. But specifically also, please remember our brother Alex and Sister Valsa. They are traveling to Malawi on the 9th, and they'll be there through the 19th, kind of working together with our dear brother Verghese Paul and Sister Rebe in the ministry there. Let's keep that especially in prayer for Journey Mercies and for what will be an effective ministry among the saints there. Again, please keep in prayer the VBS that's starting on the 9th. Due to the weather, unfortunately, the outreach did not happen last week. But this Saturday, keep an eye out for those that can. Please come join and the ability to be able to participate. If there are any other matters, please feel free to share. And let's spend the next few minutes in prayer. Again, let's lift up our hearts and voices on these matters, and may his name be glorified.